All right. This morning, the study is, I guess I would call it, What God Do I Follow? And as I looked at the study, found some, nothing new for anybody here, I can guarantee it, but some very entertaining things in the scripture, which shows us clearly that people are lost and they need some direction. And that direction comes from members of the church, the body of Christ that rightly divides a word of truth. And I'm looking at those people sitting in front of me, including the idiot that's talking. He should do his job too. I'm to be a minister of reconciliation to the world and to be the ambassador for Christ that I should be. So I'm telling myself too. One thing that anybody here, I know Mark or Eddie or Dave or Joey or... I miss somebody that comes up here and speaks. One of the great things about doing a lesson is that you teach yourself. When you're sitting there and you're looking at it and going, yeah, I guess I should have seen that a little more clearly before. So let's take a look and see what Lord should I follow. If you would with me, go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, a verse there that is a dispensational truth, of course. You know the verse I'm going to already, I'm sure. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, where we read, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have this morning to come here and study your word. As we take that time this morning, Lord, may the things which are said and done bring honor, glory, and magnify your name. And through this study, may the saints be edified, your name be glorified, and then may we go out and be the ministers of reconciliation to the world that we should be. And again, as we do that, there is no honor and glory to us. May all honor and glory belong to you. For it is through Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Here in 1 John chapter 5, we see a dispensational truth. The dispensational truth is that there are three parts to the Godhead. The Father, the Word, and you know the answer, and I ask, it's mentioned many times in the past, and I'll say it again today. I don't ask tough questions, because if I ask a tough question, chances are pretty darn good I'm not going to be able to answer it. There's the Father, the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. That's John chapter number 1, isn't it? And, of course, there's none other than the Holy Ghost. And these three work together as one. This is the Godhead that we are to follow. This is the Godhead that we are to worship. How we do that is based on this little thing called rightly dividing the word of truth, isn't it? Understanding how the Godhead works in the current dispensation and how he promised to operate in that current dispensation is key. If we do not do that, there's a lot that are in studies currently as I'm speaking right now. They're very, very confused because this verse over here says one thing, this verse says one thing over here, and you kind of scratch your head and you kind of think, huh? Hey, I think I mentioned this before here. If not, I set it up the mountain recently. I remember even when I was lost, I was unsaved, and my grandfather was a Jehovah's Witness. And believe it or not, at that time, the King James Bible was used by Jehovah's Witnesses, and he had one. And I was just curious, and for about a week or two or so, I sat down and I read out of it. And there was places that I remember seeing this thing over here say one thing, and this verse over here saying another thing, and I thought, I'm just too stupid to understand this. Well, maybe I am stupid. But one thing the Lord has done is he's given us an avenue that we can utilize that King James Bible and that we can sit down with direction, looking at right division, and come to a full appreciation and understanding on what it is that we have in our Lord. And that's what hopefully this study will help look at. Because again, there's a lot of confused people that'll look and they'll see this verse over here says one thing and this verse over here says something else, and they're either confused as to why it does that, or what they will do is something even a little bit worse, is they'll take the one they like better. Well, I like the way this verse over here says this better, so we're going to hold on to that. Maybe that's what you think, but no, that's not the how we should handle it. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Which Lord do we follow? What we're going to see, at least this morning, and if I don't finish it, when I get my hip done, that means coming back. Okay? We'll do the second one. So hang in there. What Lord do I follow? What, when you look at the scripture, there are many gods, G-O-D, small g-O-D-S, not the real one, the false one. Let's take a look at a possibility of a false one here. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. There are many gods mentioned in Scripture. We won't have time during our study to go over all of them. Well, let's be perfectly honest. If I were to tell you I knew of all of them, I would be lying to you, because there are ones that I, over the process of time, naturally forget. Right? But in Romans chapter number 1, we see the nature of the human being. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. Let's begin at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. From the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. Boy, I want to stop there one second. We have no excuse. We don't. We really have no excuse. Whatever excuse we want, but Lord, I didn't know. Did we have the opportunity to know? Did we have the opportunity to take this Bible and study it? We certainly do. And it's our responsibility to do so. And he gave clear direction on how it is to know that he exists. It says here from in verse 20, from the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Last night, we went up, for heaven's sakes, the newer mall in Altoona, not the Logan Valley Mall, the one up on the hill that has Barnes & Noble, and thank you. We were up there, going up there last night as a family. We had some things that we had to get. There was a sunset that just melted my heart. I'm telling you what. I said to my wife and daughter, look at that. It was incredible. It was beautiful. And you realized, no doubt in the eyes of the Lord, it really wasn't that pretty. I want you to think of this. Is this earth and universe stained by sin? So in our eyes, it looks, I'm telling you guys, it was immense, it was huge, it was a brilliant red, it was gorgeous. There's a testimony that God exists, just looking at that. Even though in his eyes it's not that pretty because it's stained by sin, there is no excuse. We have no excuse. Just a little side note, nothing to do with today's study, all right? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Do we live in an unthankful world today? Oh, my. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like what? We take something as gorgeous as, look at his power. All he did was say the word and ta-da, there it was. Yet our foolish heart was darkened. And what did we do instead? We made God into an image made like corruptible man. You know what church I came from. I bring it up, I swear, every time I'm here. But I can't think of anything but what I used to be. When I lived at my parents' home, you walk into their bedroom, and there's two statues there. One is Joseph. My wife is shaking her head. There's one of Joseph, and there's one of Mary. You know what we used to do? We used to go down and pray to those things. An image made like to corruptible man. And what did I used to do it. I used to do it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, etc., 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 etc. I used to pray that. Guess how much that helped me? Made it God. If I'm praying to a statue, what am I thinking it is? A God. Cut it any way you want to, that's the way it was. I remember my sister, who I love dearly, when she was married, she went down in front in the church where I was a commentator there. I helped out during the service. I was 19, 18, whatever I was, still Catholic. She got down on her knees in front of it, laid flowers in front of the statue of Mary and four babies. Isn't that making a look? And we used to say, oh no, you guys don't understand. We're really not worshiping the statue. Really? An image made like the corruptible man. Then it gets more interesting. Look what else we make him into. Into birds. Make a statue of a bird. There's God. Let's worship the bird. Four-footed beasts. Do you know of any countries that worship a cow? That's their God, buddy. They're stoned to death and they got all this hamburger standing in front of them. You're making a God out of a cow. Creeping things. Again, I say, not a tough question. What's a creeping thing? A bug. Make a God out of a bug? Vanity of man. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. What can you do to a bug? Now, mind you, this is my bad leg, so bear with me for a minute. Who's in charge over a bug? You are. Who's in charge over a cow? You are. Man in charge? Are there men in charge of other men? Yeah. What you're doing, in essence, is you are making yourself a god. Because even though, in your mind, perhaps, that statue of a cow or a bug or whatever, you have control over it. Ed, do you have control over a bug? Mark, do you have control over a cow? Joey, are you in control over... Aren't you a supervisor where you work? No, I'm sorry. If you were a supervisor over another individual, are you in charge of them? Can you control them? You don't even have to be a supervisor. Can you control somebody else? Yeah. What's that make you? A God. I remember the same sister that I was mentioning a few moments ago at the wedding when she prayed for babies. Not that long ago, when we moved into the new home we're in now, my wife's parents' old home. I was in the house, and I looked down and I thought, what is that thing? I reached down, and my wife's smiling again. She knows right where I'm going. I picked it up, and it was a little medal, you know, like a medal you can put on your neck or a ring or what. You know what is a medal of? St. Jude. You know St. Jude Hospital, right? Now I put two and two together and figured out why St. Jude Hospital is called St. Jude. You know what St. Jude is the patron saint of? Pardon? You're close. St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. Those kids that are in that hospital generally are not healthy. They're very sick, and chances are very good that they may not ever come out of that hospital. St. Jude is a patron saint of a lost cause. My sister was there with her husband, and they took that medal and they put it down on the side of the bed that I sleep. Guess what they consider me? Eddie, you're laughing. Go ahead and say it. You did? Yes! I'm a lost cause. Now, understand why they think I'm a lost cause. I was in that old church. I had considered being a Roman Catholic priest. I loved the Lord, and I wanted to serve Him. I just didn't know what I was getting myself into. Instead, I met a cute little blonde, and I said I do with her, and through her family got saved, and through some other friends got led to Right Division. Those are gods. I used to pray to saints. Besides praying to Mary, I prayed to saints. St. Jude, St. pick one, you know. And when I prayed to them, what did I just make them? Did I worship false gods? Could have had a V8. Thank God I'm not in it anymore. And I'm not saying that snide. I mean that. What mankind will do is they will take and make something. They don't even know they're doing it. I had no idea I was making St. Jude a god. I didn't know that I was. I prayed to angels. I've mentioned that here in the past, I know. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love and trust me here, ever this day, be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide, amen. Said that every day. Every day. Prayed to angels. What did I just make an angel by doing that? God. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Frauds. Is St. Jude a god? Small g, but is he a god? No. Is Mary a god? I remember her in the book saying about God, her Savior. She needed a Savior. If she were a god, would she need a Savior? Doesn't stop there. There is a really one who really wants to be God. Mark, I'm sure, and all of you already know who I'm talking about. There is one who desperately, desperately, desperately wants to be God. Go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, Would help if I turn the rest of the way there. Begin with me in verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. And gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary because of the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it will devour thee, and will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. You all know this, I'm sure. Not a tough question. Who is the king of Tyrus here? Mark whispered it. I seen his lips. It's Lucifer. Remember this guy, old Lucifer? Man, he had a job handed to him. And he was made in a way that was absolutely stunning. He was incredible. Absolutely beautiful. Look at the end of verse 12. Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect. If something's perfect, does it need anything else? No. Just like the scripture. The scripture, the writer says that it's perfect. Does it need anything else if it's already perfect? Satan was beautiful. It says, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Every precious stone. Ladies, do you like jewelry? Men do, too. And this is not bigoted. I don't think it is bigoted. But ladies generally are more fond of jewelry than a man. The reason I'm wearing the one ring here is because my wife's uncle was kind enough that he gave it to me. I would not have gone out and bought it on my own. The reason I wear it is because he was kind enough to give it to me. This guy had built in him jewelry. I mean, he had every precious stone that you can imagine. Every precious stone was thy covering. How many is every? All. He had it all. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets. The workmanship of thy tabrets. He was a musician. He had built inside him pipe organs, buddy. Besides having all that, and understand, he was the cherub that covered. When God sat upon the throne, the brilliant light shone through. And when that brilliant light went up and hit all those beautiful diamonds and beryls and the onyx and all that fancy jewelry, what do you think happened? It was a beautiful rainbow that went up over that throne. Just absolutely, absolutely stunning. He had it all. He had it all. Verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherub that covered. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways. He was perfect. Lucifer was perfect. Then something happened. Till what was found in him? You know what Lucifer should have done? Lucy, Lucy. When he looked and he was able to be a one-man band and he could play that music and he had all that beautiful diamonds and gold and beryl, just all of it. And he was the anointed cherub that covered, the verse says. You know what he should have done? Wow! I was created this way, the verse says. He was created that way. What he should have done was he should have got down on his knees, or whatever knees a cherub has. Lord, you did this. You gave me this position. I truly didn't deserve it, and I thank you. You know what he did instead? I'm hot stuff. Look at me. Look, just look how wonderful I am. I'm the anointed cherub that covers. And what did his desire change to from that point on? Who did he want to be just like? Go ahead. What did he just make himself? Oh, go ahead. This individual had it all. He had a great position. He was the cherub that covered the throne of God. That's how all the light was able to pass through him with all those diamonds and pearls and the like. He hung right over that throne and this beautiful light just shone through him. When you read other parts of the scripture, in glory where the Lord says, is it pretty? Mm-hmm. And yet he decided, rather than accept graciously an appreciative attitude, saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, he instead decided, I'm going to be just like the Most High. I'm going to be just like God. Probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to go there anyway. Go to Revelation, I think it's 13. Yeah. It is. He wants to be just like God. Sound familiar? In Revelation 13. Time comes when the Antichrist is here on the scene. And he's over creating all kinds of havoc over in Israel and to the believing remnant, to the little flock. Look at what this rascal is. Verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. If somebody claims that they are God, are they blaspheming God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. I think the dragon here is the devil. And there's this guy come on the scene, and he's going to be here, and he's going to claim that he's Israel's Messiah. And this dragon gives him power and authority. And I saw, verse 3, one of his heads as it were wounded to what? Is he copycatting somebody here? Did Jesus Christ die? Here's a guy that's going to come on the scene, addresses him, gives him power and authority, and he dies. Copycat. Copycat. And his deadly wound was healed. Does that sound familiar? He's making himself to be the Jewish nation, what exists of it. Do they think that Israel's Messiah is, but yeah, I can't talk either. Do they think that Israel's Messiah is here yet? When this guy comes on the scene and there's a dragon that gives him great authority and power and he's wounded as if it were to death and he comes back to life, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wonders after the beast. They're making him out. They look at him and they think, I remember, Mark, you took Rick Jordan's class years ago, like I did to a point. Remember whenever he said that he was they were talking to somebody that was an Israeli and they read them this passage, and you know what they thought he said? That's my Messiah. He's here. And the whole world wonders after the beast. Then you got to go get this mark, 666, on your hand or your forehead so that you can eat and drink and live. And if you refuse it, you're suffering like you can't imagine. To the point where you just may die. But he who stands fast to the end shall be saved. They're making this guy a god. Man likes to make himself god. Man will gladly make a cow, a bug, what a statue, make them a god, because then you have authority and control over that statue. If I was in my parents' old home, I could walk into their bedroom and grab that statue of Joseph and grab that statue of Mary. You know, guys, you would look better in another room. Who's the one that has the authority and power over those statues? It would have been me. And why would I make myself a god? Oh yeah, this is definitely a two-weeker. That's fine. One of the big differences, not the only difference, obviously. What is a big difference between Lucifer and Jesus Christ? One of them. Let's go back to Ezekiel 28. No, I'm not going to be able to find it. If I can't find it, somebody help me out. That's what happens when you get old. Of all the things that I misplace, I miss my mind the most. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden. Was Lucifer in Eden? Remember this? These people called Adam and Eve? Where were they? They were in Eden, weren't they? And when Lucifer, Satan, tempted them, where did he go to tempt them? And where was the garden? Eden. Where was Eden? Where Lucifer was? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Look at the last part of that verse. And the tablets of thy pipes was prepared in thee, in the day that thou wast what? Was Lucifer, was Satan a created being? Yes. No question. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee. Who gave him that position as the anointed cherub that covereth? God did. He didn't earn it. God said, I made you this way. I put all those jewels in you. I've given you pipes where you can lead the angelic host in the praise and worship in heaven. I've given that to you. I created you. Not a tough question. Was Jesus Christ created? No. Jesus Christ has always existed. And that blows my mind to this day. In my finite mind, sometimes think, I don't understand how that can be, but you say so, so you're God, and you're the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and if you say so, I believe it. That's enough. Satan was created. He has not always existed. Jesus Christ has always existed. Always been here forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He was not created. In fact, he had something that Satan can't do. Satan was built a certain way. He was made where he had all these fancy gimmicks in him. Trafficking, it says, is what you know what trafficking is? I got this from Tracy, I won't deny it. Merchandising. We went up to the mall last night, and we went up there to buy some stuff. Imagine that. Go to a mall to buy stuff, right? Walked into a store, looked at something, the wife saw it, she liked it, she bought it. Did they merchandise that in such a way that she liked it? He was trafficked. He was incredible. He was beautiful. He was created that way. But there's something that Jesus Christ has the ability to do that Satan can't do. Ooh. Man. Frauds. Is man a fraud? Was man born in sin? Is man a fraud? There we go. Is Satan a fraud? He says, I'm going to be just like the Most High. Is he just like the Most High? No, not even close. Full. He had it all and he should have said, thank you. Just like man. How? We just mentioned a while ago, is man thankful? We're never satisfied. We want more. I think I better put that one away and try this one. Never mind. No, it's okay, bud. No big deal. It really isn't. Thank you. Let's try this one. Aha! Jesus Christ has the ability to do something that Satan can't do. He can create something from nothing. The only thing Satan can create, it's like that Allstate commercial. I think it's Allstate. You ever see Mayhem from Allstate? The guy's a good actor, by the way. Because I look at him, I think, oh, Lord. Rascal's going to cause destruction. Did Satan create destruction? Hell yeah. Does Jesus Christ create destruction? No. No, he's going to come and he's going to clean Satan's clock and he's going to clean the world's clock eventually. But that's not it. Jesus Christ has the ability to create. Lucifer was created. Jesus Christ is the Creator. There's the difference. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Hey, I need to preach more often. Guess how much pain I'm in right now. I just messed up the rest of my day. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 8. Look at verse 6. But to us, there is but how many gods? Father, Son, and Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There's a reason that verse is there. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are how many things? And we in Him. Are we in the Father? Doesn't the book of Ephesians talk about the Father is living inside us and we are a part of the temple of Him? And besides the Father, the Son lives inside us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. Does the Holy Ghost live in you? Doesn't that say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live inside us, we are the temple of God. Is that something because we're special? Because He's special enough, He took me out of my sin and put me into Him. And we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are how many things? All things. And we by who? Who created us? According to this verse, Jesus Christ did. You want to know the one that spoke the word? And Adam was made. And a little bit later, there was a rib taken out of Adam. And he formed it into this thing called a woman. And he looked at her and said, wow. Good looking woman. And he called her woman because she was taken from a man. But who created them? Who created the earth? Who created the sun? Speaking of sunset, I just noticed that sign in the back. That's a pretty sign back there, you know that? Red sky just like last night. Wow, it was gorgeous. Oh my gosh. John chapter 1, verse you know we're going to. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? Who's the Word of God? Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at this. All things were made by who? It's who's Him? Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ God? Yes. Part of that is these three are one thing that we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who made it? Jesus Christ did. He made everything that was perfect. The only one that screwed things up with this sin thing is called Lucifer. If he wants to take credit for something, he can say he made that. Dummy. He had it all. And he blew it. Let's not do the same. I don't mean that we can lose our... I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we can lose our salvation. We cannot. Can we mess things up? Let's not do that. Please. I'm telling myself. I'm not looking at it. I'm not looking at anybody in this room. I'm looking at the guy with the bad hip or two. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Is light a good thing? Oh, yeah. Guess who's the daddy of light? Jesus Christ is, because he created it. That's who he was. Look at verse number 14. And if there was ever any doubt, if you weren't sure that the Word was Jesus Christ or not, this solidifies it, this ends it. Verse 14. And the Word was made what? And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? He's full of grace. He's full of truth. Everything that's good, that's righteous, that's perfect, is Him. And this is not a tough question again. You know who else is perfect? Is the Father perfect? Is the Holy Ghost perfect? That's why these three are one. Is Lucifer perfect? Used to be. Till he dropped the ball. Go to Colossians chapter 1. To myself. You just start coughing. You can't help it. It's just how it goes. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through whose blood? Christ's blood. His blood. Even the forgiveness of all those screw-ups that I've made, He took care of it. All those screw-ups we all made, He took care of it by His blood. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things what? Who made everything? Jesus Christ did. Here's the resume. Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, we read just a little while ago. He created everything. Here's old Lucy. Lucifer. Right? Here's what he created. Unless you want to count sin. Boy, there's a heck of a resume. Woohoo! I am the father of sin! Ta-da! Yeah, I really am that goofy. I'm this way at home, too. Been this way 61 years. No sense changing now. He's the father of sin! What a resume Christ has. What a resume. And everything that this fellow over here did to screw everything up, Christ took care of it when He shed His blood for you and I. That by trusting in that finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary and that trusting in His sacrifice that He gave, that His blood is the perfect sacrifice for sin, you're covered and never have to worry about it ever again. Can't say the same about old Lucy over here. We read a little while ago in Isaiah 14, what's going to happen to Lucifer? He's going to face judgment. He isn't there yet, but this day in court's coming. And when that court calls his name and he gets judged, somebody's in trouble, Lucy. Know what I mean? Hebrews chapter 1. Probably close here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. His Son is Jesus Christ, of course. Whom He hath appointed heir of how many things? Jesus Christ is the heir of everything. Talk about a grand prize. This is when everything gets fixed and made right. And he gets to be heir of everything. By whom also he made what? Who is the creator of everything? Scripture is pretty clear. Even a dummy like me can sit and after been told so many times, Jesus Christ created everything, Jesus Christ created everything, Jesus Christ created everything. Hey, Bob, who created everything? Eddie Hoover. No. Jesus Christ created everything, full of grace, full of truth. Who's the creator? Jesus Christ is. Now understand, the Father and the Holy Ghost had a part in all this, but who was the grand poobah here that created it all? These guys over here that are frauds, man, Satan, the cow, the bug, etc., they're frauds. And I'm telling you something, guys, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I used to worship a fraud. I prayed the frauds, but I've been delivered from that all. And I have been given everything. Don't misunderstand, life is still a pain in the neck. You don't think I have troubles? You don't want me to start telling you some of my troubles. There's more than just the hips involved here, you know? I'm 61 and my body's starting to fail me. But in the light of eternity, what do I have? I possess all and need nothing. There's one day this body will go back to the ground from whence it came. From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. And when that day comes, I get to go stand in the presence of my Lord. And this old numbskull, the first thing he better do is when he gets there, say, Lord, I respect you, I honor you, I thank you. I don't want to be like the goofs that don't say thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me and for everyone. Thank you. What do you want me to do? Go to Acts 17 there as we close. Who do I worship? Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Imagine that. Paul used this thing called the Scripture. Go figure. Guess what we should use? Scripture. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preached unto you is who? It's not Lucifer. Jesus is Christ. What we're going to do somewhere down the road, hopefully in, I'm not sure how long I'm going to be out, guys. I was told I could be out up to 12 weeks. I don't know. But one thing you have my word is that we're going to go over the next part of this study. And we're going to see what part of Christ do we worship. Because there are other people with other ideas out there. And what our goal the next time is we look and we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we see how it is that we should worship them. And no, it's not with statues. It's using that book that you have in front of you. Coming to understand it, appreciate it, and understand how God's operating today in a dispensation of grace and living a life based on that. Time for me to shut up. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning we've had to come together again and study your word. We appreciate you. We could never, ever, ever, ever say thank you enough for all that you've done for us, because we truly did not deserve it. We truly deserved eternal damnation. We thank you for not doing that, and rather giving us the gift of everlasting life, where we can serve you as ministers of reconciliation to the world. As we do that, may all honor, glory go to you. For it is through Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.